tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to listen to Jesus. But the Pharisees and scribes began to complain, saying, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." So to them he addressed this parable. "What man among you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, would not leave the 99 in the desert and go after the lost one until he finds it? And when he does find it, he sets it on his shoulders with great joy. And upon his arrival home, he calls together his friends and neighbors and says to them, 'Rejoice with me, because I have found my lost sheep.' I tell you, in just the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who have no need of repentance. Or what woman, having 10 coins and losing one, would not light a lamp and sweep the house, searching carefully until she finds it? And when she does find it, she calls together her friends and neighbors and says to them, 'Rejoice with me, because I have found the coin that I lost.' In just the same way, I tell you, there will be rejoicing among the angels of God over one sinner who repents." Our first reading today is from the book of Exodus. Now, you know, people describe my preaching sort of like I like to pull the curtain, you know, the Wizard of Oz, you know, the curtain, pull the curtain. I like to pull the curtain away because we like to be real, okay? So, you know, today we hear from the book of Exodus, and the book of Exodus is one of the first 5 books of the Bible, and that is often called the Torah, or the law. It's also called the Pentateuch, meaning the first 5 books. Now, for centuries, we thought that Moses wrote the Torah and wrote the Pentateuch, same thing. But more recent study has made rather clear that it was not written by one person, that there are probably at least 4 authors of those first 5 books of the Bible. And so we don't know their names, but we gave them names. And we gave them names based on what they call God or what they talk about. And so one writer we call the priestly writer, because he writes about like rituals and laws and priesty kind of things. So we call him the priestly writer. Then we have the Deuteronomist, who writes in a style of writing history. It's not history, because they didn't write history 5,000 years ago like we write history today. But it's kind of that style. So that's what we call him. Then we have the Eloist, which basically he calls God El, or Elohim, which is a name for God. And his characteristic of his writing is that God is like all-powerful, all-knowing. The first creation story is written by him. In the beginning, God said, "Let there be light." So he kind of says it and he is. It's just like, so he's got that. And then there's the last writer we call the Yahwist. And he calls God Yahweh, is the name of God. It doesn't have the vowels, but that's what we call him. And he has this very human-looking kind of God. It's not a God who says and it is, but it's a God who plays in the dirt. And he gets the dirt and he forms it into a man and he breathes into his nostrils and then, you know the story. Okay, so he's a very anthropomorphized or a very human kind of God. Well, today's reading from the book of Exodus, it's just fabulous because we have a very human appearing God. And it starts off with, "The Lord said to Moses, 'Go down at once to your people whom you brought out of the land of Egypt, for they have become depraved.'" So Caridad, charity. It's sort of like, you know, when Ben does something wrong, you say to your husband, "You know what your son did?" It's no longer our son or my son, but Father Lopez called about your son today. And so that's kind of what's going on here, because we, you know, remember, it was God, you know, brought them out of the land of Egypt and brought them to the promised land. You know the story. And now all of a sudden, God is saying, Moses, your people have become depraved. And he says, and you know what? Your people have made a golden calf, and they're giving credit for getting them out of Egypt to this golden calf, your people. And I want to, like, wipe them out. He's kind of an Italian human, because I would wipe them out, right? So, yeah, wipe them out. And Moses says, what you talking about, God? Did you forget, like, the plagues? Did you forget, like, how you parted the sea? Did you forget how these were your people, not my people? I didn't bring them out of Egypt. You did. God, they are your people, not mine. And you promised that you would, to Abraham and Isaac and Israel, remember those folks, God? Those people? You promised would make as plenty as the stars in the heavens, God. And so God says, oh, okay. I guess they are my people. And so he relents. Now, some Christians, I guess, take the Bible literally, and they would say, oh, you see, God is a vengeful God, and he wants to punish his people. But that's not the Yahwist point. The Yahwist point is God doesn't act like we act, but rather God is a merciful God, a God that reaches out to his people and forgives his people even when they become depraved and stiff-necked. Right, Charity? Amen. Yeah, we never happen here. Okay, now, the way the church does this thing with these three reading thing going on, we have a gospel, and we pick the first reading to connect. We're very narcissistic because the Hebrew scriptures only support us, but let's not go there. But anyway, so we use the Hebrew scriptures to show that, you know, the gospel is what it's supposed to be. So, and the second reading kind of runs its own course, but the first, so therefore, the first reading and the gospel are connected. And so we hear now, if that first reading is about God's mercy that extends, that's kind of what our gospel is going to be about. So we hear in our gospel story how tax collectors and sinners, those people, tax collectors and sinners are like flocking to Jesus. What you talking about? What are you flocking to Jesus for, okay? So they're flocking to Jesus. And then the scribes and the Pharisees. Now, we at Lord's, whenever we hear scribes and Pharisees, what do we say? We say, uh-oh. Because it never goes well for those scribes and Pharisees. And we're the scribes and Pharisees. So right away, when we hear scribes and Pharisees, we say, uh-oh, it's not going to go good for us. Never does. Okay, so we hear how these religious people see Jesus. Not only are these tax collectors and sinners flocking to him, but he eats with them. That means he condones their behavior. Oh my gosh, he condones their behavior. Those people. Now, we have to remember that one of Luke's major themes in his gospel is the universality of salvation. See, in Luke's gospel, he traces the genealogy not to David. He traces it to Adam, because Jesus comes for all people, not just the Jewish people. So this whole universality is very important. So then we hear Luke says, okay, so we're going to tell you some parables here to you, Pharisees and scribes, since you obviously don't get it. And so we hear a parable about 100 sheep and about 10 coins. Well, we have to understand that 100 and 10 are very symbolic numbers in the scriptures, because it represents a wholeness. I got lots of, I say I don't have issues, I have the whole subscription, but one of my issues is whenever I buy gas, maybe some other guys, whenever you buy gas, you know, it's $20.25. You know, if it's 23 cents, I keep filling it, even if it's probably illegal, but it spills out. I don't know. But anyway, but I want to make it 25.25. or or when I go to a restaurant. Another crazy compulsion I have is that, you know, if the bill is like $21.22, then I got to make the tip like $4.78. So it comes out to 25. You got that disease? Yeah. Okay. So it's because it's got that sense of wholeness or something. There's something about that wholeness that those of us with OCD, it makes us feel better. Okay. So in the scriptures, when we hear 100, it's a sense of wholeness. It's like 999, you know, it's not really 10. It's not whole. Excuse me. And so there's that sense of wholeness. So when we hear that there are 100 sheep, that gives us a sense of wholeness. Or 10 coins, that's a sense of wholeness. But we hear that the shepherd loses one of his sheep. One of these sheep wanders off because the sheep obviously had to do it his own way. None of us would ever do it our own way. We say the theme song in hell is "I did it my way." But we don't do it. But anyway, so this sheep had to do it his own way. And he does it his own way, and he obviously gets lost. But the important part is basically, for Luke anyway, with this parable, is that the wholeness is broken. You see, for Jesus and for Luke, there is no such thing as us and them. And if you're understanding reality like those scribes and Pharisees that, oh, we're righteous and holy, and those people are all sinners and tax collectors, that's a whole us and them mentality. And so we hear how this one sheep wanders off, and we hear that they can't get back on their own. That the shepherd goes out and he gets that sheep and carries it back because it can't get there on its own, on its shoulders. Now, Barbara's a shepherd here. Barbara, where's Barbara? There you are. How much does a sheep weigh? Not a lamb, a sheep. Well, you got little ones, don't you? How much? 200 pounds, okay. Now, we always see this statue of Jesus with this little baby lamb on his shoulders. We're talking 200 to 300 pounds for a sheep. That's a whole different picture, isn't it? Yeah, okay. So we're carrying back this 200 to 300 pound sheep on his shoulders, okay? Because he can't get back on his own. So when he brings him back, notice what's important is not so much the sheep anymore, but rather the community gathers to celebrate. For what was divided is now united, okay? Now, Luke, one of his major themes is women. He really, you know, and I run out of words, okay? This is the fourth time for the weekend, and I run out of words. But anyway, so a few weeks ago, actually in June, we heard the story of the widow. Remember the widow? And she gave all she had to those corrupt Pharisees and scribes and religious people. She gave everything. And Luke was basically saying that the widow was God, that he gave everything to not the corrupt scribes and Pharisees, but to the corrupt us, okay? So Luke has no problem using as an image of God a woman. And so now he uses not only a shepherd, but he uses a woman who basically loses one coin and does everything in her power to bring back that wholeness. And so we once again see that bringing back humanity into this undivided unity is really important to our God. Okay, and that's the point of today's gospel. Now, next week is Back to Church Sunday. We don't do nothing. Oh, we got Blue Mass, Back to Church. We're very busy people here. So anyway, so next week is Back to Church Sunday. So we all here are supposed to be inviting people to church, okay? We're supposed to go out of our way. And we want people to experience us. Not because people need church, but because we need them. You see, it's a different way of looking at things. Because I saw this on Facebook this couple days ago. It says that people don't need church to get to heaven, just like people don't need a parachute when you jump from a plane, but it certainly helps. I thought, oh, I like that. I'll have to remember it. Not so good. But anyway, but you know what? They don't need us, but we need them. And so it's like my dad's been really sick, you know, and we had hospice come in. And the hospice nurse was there. And, you know, I always like, probably another one of my issues, is I always people, what church you go to or whatever. She's like, well, I'm not religious. I'm spiritual. And I'm like, okay, yeah, whatever. And what religion did you grow up in? She said, well, I was raised Catholic. I said, I knew it. I said, you know what? You're still Catholic. She says, well, I don't go to church. I'm like, you don't have to go to church. You're Catholic. You're doing ministry. You're bringing God's love to not only the people who are dying, but to the family of the people who are... That's the drama, the Italian family. Oh, my Jesus, come and squeeze this. Okay, so I mean, talk about a ministry. I mean, when Dad was dying, he was fine. It was the rest of the chaos around him that she ministered to. And I said, you know what? We need you. She said, what do you mean you need me? I said, we need you. The church is not whole. The body of Christ is not whole without you. We need you because you provide for us a whole sense of, we need you. Come back. And so she's in Inverness, but she says, if I ever come to Daytona, I'll come back. I said, okay, good. That's the best I can do, you know. But we need everybody because humanity is not made whole without everybody. And so everybody has some cards at the end of your pew. You're off the hook. But you all have cards that you're supposed to take. And you're supposed to give them to people. And invite people to church next week. Because it's National Back to Church. I didn't invent it. It's National Back to Church Sunday. And if you're on Facebook, share our commercial so people get to know our commercial. But anyway, last night I was at Zappy's on Beach Street, and the poor waiter, his name was Jeffrey. I said, oh, so, you know, he was talking about, well, he's from New York, I was from New York. Well, he's talking about sports. Like, I don't know anything about sports, no. He's like, oh, are you a Met or a Yankee? I'm like, I don't know, I'm a Yankee. Okay, well, that was a good answer, you know, a giant jet. I'm like, who are these people? I have no idea. But anyway, I said, so what church you go to? Ooh, conversation went right downhill. And he said, what did he say? I said, I don't discuss religion or politics. I said, okay, well, I'm not asking you to discuss it, okay? I'm just inviting you to church, okay? So I'm inviting you to church. So I left a card on the table, and he took the card. So that was a good sign. I don't know what he did with it. Maybe Jeffrey will come next week. But anyway, so we invite people to church because we need them. We're not whole without them. Now, we as Catholics, I don't get to pick the readings on Sunday. They're picked for me. In the whole world, we do the same thing. But as I was reflecting on this image of a shepherd, I thought about you. Because you kind of do the crazy, don't you? You abandon the safety of your home, the safety of your family, the safety of your squad car, the safety of whatever, and you risk it all to come out to save our silly butts. And that's a wonderful image of what we hear in our gospel today. You see, because the shepherd in the story, it makes no logical sense to leave 99 sheep unattended to be eaten by wolves in search of the one. It's like, you know, if Chief Chitwood here was going to bring $100 to church, and when he got into church, he's like, oh, there's only 99. And he would leave the 99 in the pew and go outside to see where the one is. You know, even though you're all first responders, when he got back, there wouldn't be 99, okay? That's it. So it's crazy. The shepherd in the story is crazy. And yet, that's the crazy God we believe in. And when I see all of you, I see you as a metaphor, as a symbol of that crazy God who's willing to risk everything to save us. And we appreciate that you're willing to risk everything to save us. Yeah. So we want to thank you. And because what you do, we consider a ministry, you do get a get out of church card for free. But not every week, Sheriff, or whatever you call it. What is he called now? Sheriff? That's what he is. I like to call him Chief, but Sheriff, you're not every, I mean, occasionally you're not working, and occasionally you can go, but you know, it's like, I have to work Sundays. You have to work Sunday. They're grateful I work Sundays. I'm grateful that you work Sundays, but really your spiritual life is important too. I'm not saying you need church, but we need you. So when you can, and you're not doing your ministry, we need you. But you're also always, always, always a symbol for us of the God who does crazy things to save us. We appreciate you doing crazy things to save us. So I do thank you on behalf of the community. Today, as we gather together and we hear Luke remind his community, we have a God who calls us into wholeness, a God who calls us into oneness, a God who will chase us down and return that unity and wholeness. All of us this week are called to do the same. Amen.